Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is Podcast 407, The New Talk. I am out on the deck, and of course, sometimes I get myself into the craziest positions and places to do podcasts. I have a studio downstairs. I don't know why I don't just go downstairs and use the studio downstairs, but I just love playing with all these different tools and trying out different things. And so tonight, the moon's going to come up here shortly. It's going to be stunning and beautiful. This is the big blue moon, the second full moon of August. We're at the very end of the month of August. It was a gorgeous day today. And I've been sitting out on this deck half the day. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to do a podcast out here. And I've got this table behind me. And then I've got tiki torches. And I held the tiki torch up to the mic, but I want to get too close to it. So I've got two tiki torches behind me for lighting, because I hate regular lights. And I've got the computer on a chair, and then I've got the copy stand, and I'm jammed in between this table and the computer. So it's a little weird, but this is what I do. It's really fun, but I just wanted everyone to know. And then, of course, the bane of my existence is ambient noise. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with ambient noise. So the sound of the trees and the highway in the distance, or aircraft, which are landing and taking off. And I'm trying to sort of get in the middle, in between. There's a little dead spot at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, between 11 and 12, when the flights kind of go down a little bit. And hopefully I can get this podcast done before flight operations pick up again. And then we have these planes landing, because it's Sunday night, and you know how that goes. But I want to start sort of re-engaging in the process after a long summer of pretty much staying away from it, by talking about the economy and our everyday lives and what is now apparently the politics of the 2016 cycle. So we're going to talk about that in podcast 407, which is, of course, sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul and by xgovernmentcars.com. Now, I mentioned in the last podcast, one of the things that I did last week, I have to stretch out a little bit to talk about this, which I thought was really cool, was I pulled up at a client's place of business and produced a commercial for him. And I talked about this in the last podcast, from the front yard, after another one of my little crazy wiring runs. And when the commercial was done, he could then listen on the headphones. And this was Ed of X Government Cars. And it was funny, because I said, come on out and listen to the commercial. He puts the headphones on and he goes, my God, these are loud. And that's what happens when you've spent a lifetime being a disc jockey. That's you have a tendency to have loud headphones. Anyway, and then he could make changes. And then when I was done, I just emailed him the spot that he could use on 93X or the country stations or whatever whatever radio stations he's buying. And I thought it was pretty cool. Anything that I can do in a studio, generally speaking, I can do in the mobile podcast command unit, which is really neat. And of course, it came from X Government Cars. And coming soon, X Government Trucks will tell you all about it. And you may recall, I recorded one of Ed's spots in the command unit at the beach in Virginia earlier this summer. Anyway, we had a really good time with this spot. So here is the spot I recorded in the mobile podcast command unit. I'm here with Star White of xgovernmentcars.com.
Yes.
Hi, Star.
Yes.
Let's talk about xgovernmentcars.com.
Yes.
Does X Government Cars still have the best choices of one-owner fleet-maintained cars and trucks?
Yes.
The Chargers, Expeditions, Yukons, the new Ford Police sedans and SUVs, and of course the incomparable Ford Crown Vicks while they last?
Yes.
Financing?
Yes.
Low rates?
Yes, as low as 2.5%.
Credit for bankruptcies and all levels of credit?
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes.
I can get pre-approved online?
Yes.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Yes.
XGovernmentCars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North, Golden Valley.
Yes.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Yes.
And coming soon, X Government Trucks.
Yes.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Yes.
It's time to get your butt down to XGovernmentCars.com.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Let me push this table back a little bit so it doesn't make noise. Okay, I think we're good. So there is a fable It's often used to illustrate greed, and this is the fable of the goose that laid the golden egg. And in some tellings, the farmer and the farmer's wife or whatever believed that there was a big lump of gold inside the goose, and he or she kills it and finds it to be the same as all the other geese, and, you know, they've now killed the goose that laid the golden egg. The farmer and his wife could have been happy with the golden egg once in a while, but instead they pushed their luck and it's now out. This fable is very old. It's also been told as the farmer who decided to plant twice as much or twice in a season and the fields played out and now he farms nothing but weeds. I prefer the goose that laid the golden egg metaphor, because I think that story has a major bearing on our economy these days. And when I talk about the economy, I'm talking about the economy we experience every day and all that is required for us to experience. Even small mom and pop stores and services, even those services where people say, oh, we're not a corporation, or we only engage in natural foods, you know, farmers market, whatever. They all use technology, shipping, employees, offices or locations for stores, they use financing, they use accounting, and so on. And all that they have is generally either brought to the market through with trucks or trains or planes. We need transportation, we need energy to run our businesses, and we need roads for people to get to work, and we need cars for them or some kind of transportation and fuel and so forth. I could go on here, but it would take on the tincture of some sort of eighth grade, you know, video on business, but you get the picture. Now, most of us recognize that we have a problem in the so-called developed world, and I would say actually in the so-called developing world as well. And the problem is with the economy. The problem is that the economy, the sum total of all goods and services, consumption and production, our economies, and our economy in particular in the U.S., aren't growing fast enough. Why? And I offer that not as a rhetorical question here, but as a question for you to ponder. Why isn't our economy growing fast enough? Now, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, the new normal, on TV or the radio or some pundit, or you've read it somewhere, this idea of the new normal. And the theory goes, we're in a new era of slower growth because of all the developed economies in the world are in a new normal. They won't grow dynamically anymore because they're developed. This is the norm. And actually, this kind of growth is preferable because we don't want to have, quote unquote, uncontrolled growth. We want to have controlled growth. Do you believe that? I think this is a really important question. Do you believe that idea? And if you believe it, why? And if you don't believe it, why not? And I will leave you to answer that question for yourself, because I think it's a really, really important question for all of us to ask and ponder as we go about whatever it is that we do on any given day. But more importantly, what does 1.3 or I should say 1-3% growth look and feel like? To me, it looks and feels like fits and starts. One quarter will be up, one quarter will be down, one quarter gains from companies and individuals adding to their inventory. The next quarter is down as those inventories are depleted and everybody holds up. And it feels like, if you're doing business sometimes, it actually feels like people are like, well, we're holding up this quarter because we got everything we needed last quarter, or they're paying their bills at the very end of the quarter, and so forth and so on. One quarter real estate is up, and then the inventories are sold off, and then it's back down again, and vice versa. And this process is repeated throughout all the sectors of the economy, almost as a sort of rolling factor, depending on the quarter or the sector or factors in a particular part of the season, things like that. And you can tell because every quarter there's always some kind of caveat or reason or excuse for what's going on, whether it's winter, you know, we had a big hurricane, there's some kind of uncertainty, we're not sure what happened, and so forth. We're not contracting per se, but we're also not growing fast enough that small businesses grow into medium-sized businesses and medium-sized businesses grow into big businesses and people are able to trade up to better and better and better jobs and to higher incomes. Here again, why do you think that is? It's a very important question for all of us to ponder. Why do you think that is? If I've learned anything when I've traveled around the country in the mobile podcast command unit, it's that we Americans, And I think this is probably true of all humans, as I'll get here shortly, but I will focus on Americans. One of the main things we do, is we trade. We're trading when we buy gas. We're trading when we buy and sell T-shirts and beer at Sturgis, or we buy and sell airplanes or groceries, or we start businesses. We trade when we wait for the new iPhone to be released, or to use modern technology to download the new episode of Don't Fear the Walking Dead, to make a donation to the BobDavisPodcast.com, or to sign up for an account at AshleyMadison.com. We're trading. It doesn't matter whether we use low technology or high technology to do it, but we are trading. Now, some argue this impulse to trade is the root of all social transactions, including how we choose a mate, whether we have a mate, whether we have 1, 2, 3, 10, 15 children, what we pursue as a career option, and so forth. And here, too, I would think that people would argue that this impulse to trade is, in fact, the basis for all government throughout the history of human beings, whether it is to increase trade or control it. Some would say the organizing principle for government is defense, but why do you defend yourself? You defend yourself so that you can live your life and do what you do, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's a monarchy or whether it's a tyranny or whether it's a democracy. We organize to defend so that we can be at peace, so that we can trade. I think this is as strong as the impulse to be free. Maybe the ability to take your goods to market and to buy the goods you want is the essence of freedom. We will perform this behavior with or without a government. And the freer the people goes the theory, the freer the trade. So where does the goose that laid the golden egg come in here, Bob Davis? You're talking about this crazy myth, this moral, morality story. Where does this come in here? First of all, the moral of the story is don't get too greedy. You've got this goose that lays a golden egg every day. Just take the egg to market and sell it, and you're golden, literally. But what happens? The farmer and his wife get used to the goose laying that egg, and they start thinking, boy, if we could just get more. And because they're dumb, they decide to cut the goose open and get the lump of gold inside the goose, and it's the end of the goose. So in our case, who or what is the goose, and who or what is the farmer? Let me put it this way. We now live in a society which has been used to some level of government intervention for over 70 years. There are all sorts of laws that govern who we do business with, how we do business, how much individuals and businesses are taxed, how that taxation is assessed. There are state, national, and local property laws, tax laws, all kinds of different laws at all different levels of government, including county and township. And then there is the government itself. In the last 70 years or so, academics have become enamored of the idea that the government can regulate the economy through financial rules and central banking to inject money to prime the pump, to ameliorate the pain of those who live on the lowest rungs of our society. That was the original intent. Over time, that part of the economy, the government part, has now become the engine that drives the economy in some cases. How often do you hear them talk about Federal Reserve policy, depending on how the market does? We had a lot of conversations about the market this week, and the Federal Reserve was at the root of almost all of them. And if it wasn't the U.S. Federal Reserve, it was the People's Bank of China. It was the public, whatever it is, the government version of the same thing in China. So central banking has now become this tool that can be used by politicians to regulate the flow of money in our economy. And it's one of the chief, I think, problems in our economy. But the other part of this thing is that now, if we do things right, we get stuff out of it. And what do we get out of it? If we do things right, we get to trade. We get subsidies for the crops we grow, for the businesses we start, for buying a house, sometimes even for the jobs we have, for buying a certain kind of car. We essentially get free rides on trains, free bike trails, free services from local towns, states, parks, counties, schools, and so on. We think of these things as either free or the public good, and some don't even think about whether they cost money, how much they cost, or even who pays for them, because they're free, right? And I guarantee you, most people don't think of the long-term economic effects of redistribution of income. You often hear people talk about this as redistribution of wealth, but taking a percentage of whatever is earned by you personally or your business, the companies you work for, even if you're on welfare, the transactions you engage in and so on, and then using that money for the, quote, public good is redistribution of income, not wealth, it's income. So it's everyone's income. Do we talk about what a public good is in this country? Well, in theory, we're supposed to be talking about it. And we're supposed to be having this conversation with our local, state, and national politicians, but most of the time, we don't. They just seem to go on and do what they do almost by remote control. So what they end up doing, I believe, is buying votes, essentially. According to rough estimates of total government spending in the United States, we're now at about $6.5 trillion per year of total government spending. Local direct spending is $1.6 trillion. State spending is about $1.5 trillion. Federal spending is about $3.8 trillion. The size of the U.S. economy in the second quarter of 2015 is roughly $18.5 trillion. So, by sort of thumbnail mathematics, our total government spending, or arithmetic, depending on how you want to look at it, is about 37% of our economy. Some people believe that that percentage is a lot higher, depending on how you calculate it, if you are a little bit more specific, because that number, as far as I can see, doesn't include long-term obligations like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, spending like the VA, and other government services that are sort of grandfathered in through legislation, like the Affordable Care Act. And it does not include the long-term obligations of the U.S. national debt, because we are not paying down the debt. We are simply paying off the debt as though we pay the minimum on the credit card bill every year. Now, it is true that European and Asian economies spend more of their percentage of GDP on social programs and government building than the United States. The United States tends to spend more on defense because we defend those countries generally, and we provide military subsidies. So a lot of our spending is in addition to whatever spending we have on social stuff. We're also taking care of these barnacles in the rest of the world. Where does all this money come from? It comes from individuals. It comes from all of us individually, from our wallets. It comes from individual people and individual companies. Money is taken from individuals who are producing to fund government operations. So government at its most basic level cannot function without getting a percentage of the revenue of our economy, the sum total of our production and consumption. So, and then, you know, as an aside, one of the things that's always pained me is if economy is described as the sum total of our production and consumption, when we include government spending as part of the economy, it really doesn't tell the whole story. So who or what then is the goose that lays the golden egg? I will let you ponder that while I enjoy one of the last few golden nights of summer under a beautiful blue full moon. Well, the wind is starting to come up, and I have to say that, you know, starting out at the podcast, I was talking about how wind is the bane of my existence, and it's beautiful out here tonight. The moon is rising. It's warm. It's fantastic. And as we sit here, I'm noticing that some of the leaves are starting to change. The state fair is on. And that lets us know that the close of summer is coming fast in the Midwest. And that means we're going to be entering a mini ice age. And we call that mini ice age winter. Just like they say on the TV show, winter is coming. And Greg Ryan of Ryan Plumbing and Heating wants you to know that you need to have Ryan come out and check your heating system. And here's why. Today, it's all about integrating smart tech with your heating systems to make them more efficient. If you haven't had your heating system upgraded in the last 5 years, Ryan can upgrade you, and they will save you a lot of money during the mini ice age that we call winter in the upper Midwest. And it's worth checking it out to find out how much you can save, because you might be surprised at how much an upgrade can save you. Here's the number in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, that means the suburbs too, for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. Once again, the number in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. 471 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Have them come out and check your heating system and see if they can save you some money. And remember Ryan for emergency service as well. And thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So who or what is the goose that laid the golden egg? Who or what is the greedy farmer? Well, it seems to me we are the goose. We are the geese. It seems to me that the government is the greedy farmer. And I don't hear anyone in the political sphere these days talk about our problem in these terms. You hear about tax increases for hedge fund managers, oddly enough, from Republican and Democratic candidates, and populists and so-called establishment candidates as well all have their little trick plan for addressing the taxation issue. You know, you hear about lowering taxes on the so-called middle classes and increasing taxes on the upper classes, but if you look at the percentage of tax actually paid, the upper classes are paying a huge share of the total tax, by the way. You hear about the tax code this and the tax code that, but what you don't hear is that the greedy farmer is in the process of killing the golden goose. It's about what we expect from government. It's about how big the government's role in our lives is and how big we expect it to be. And my theory is, you know, this has been going on for almost a century in this country, that we've had government as a huge partner in our lives playing this role. So this isn't anything new, and it's very difficult for people to think of a world where our government wasn't as involved as it is, but it's costing more and more and more every year, in that it is taking a larger and larger share of our income every year. And it's about how big the government's role in our lives is, and it's thinking about what the government actually does and what it costs and how efficiently they do it, and then think about how much our economy will have to grow in the next 5 or 10 years in order to meet those expenses. And of course, the government keeps growing as well, so we have to have growth every year to meet those expenses. It's funny, because when you hear these people talking about the quote-unquote addiction to growth, they never talk about our addiction to growing government. And it's easy to see why the greedy farmer thinks, well, I have this much, I'll just cut the goose open and get the golden lump inside, and I'll help the goose by doing this, or I'll help myself by doing this, and I'll kill the goose. I mean, I could go crazy with the metaphors, and I'm not going to do that, but you look at all sorts of direct payments, like subsidies, and, you know, all sorts of indirect payments as well. State and local spending, education, policing, environmental interdiction, federal departments, rules and regulation and enforcement, not to mention the amount of money created out of thin air by a national bank called the Federal Reserve, which is really, as an institution, I think probably more powerful than any of the branches of our government itself. And no one stops to ask, can we afford this? Is this possible for us to, I mean, can we, just as you think when you go to the store and you want to buy more steak, you think, well, $59 for 4 steaks, I don't know if I can afford this. They never say that. They just think, well, we'll just increase taxes, or we'll print more money, or we'll sell more bonds. Nobody thinks to ask, what is the long-term cost of the debt? What is the long-term cost of this activity? And not just in dollars and cents, but in terms of the opportunity cost, the actual cutting into the goose that is in the process of laying the golden egg. When I say greed, most people think of the fat cat Wall Street hedge fund manager as a greedy person. You don't really think of the farmer in Iowa who is fat on wind and ethanol subsidies, as well as farm subsidies, or the concrete company that thrives on government contracts, or the bank that borrows money from the Federal Reserve at 0% interest and reinvests it in the stock market rather than loaning it out, because why do that? Because you'd have to hire people to actually do some real work. We'll just reinvest it in the market, make 3-4% of the money, and it's all good. What people don't understand is those with means will find ways to avoid being the goose. They can offshore, they can get lawyers to come up with tax breaks by reading the tax code effectively, as Elon Musk and Warren Buffett have done with their direct subsidies and their tools for offshoring and inverting companies. Meanwhile, the average person and average company can't always employ those means, and so we become the goose. can government do things to help people? I think this is an important question. And I personally, I would say no. I would say let people help themselves or die. But I'm not running the country. Thank God. The fact is, to be quite objective, the government can be useful and helpful. And there is such a thing as public good and the public commons. And if we are decent citizens, we recognize that. And we should be ready to help those who need help. And we ought to figure out a way to do that. But I think it's gotten completely out of control. And within reason, then, we can take the golden egg to market every day and do something useful with it, as well as put some aside. But the reason is the gray area, and that's where all of our politics are. It's the people who aren't getting something that want something, or it's the people who feel as though some injustice has been done to them who want it righted. And where do they go to get it? They go to the government. And the politicians are all too willing to provide succor to the person who feels that they have been hurt in some way, shape, or form, or injured in some way, shape, or form. And it isn't always the person you expect. It isn't always the downtrodden. Sometimes it's businesses and rich people who seek government to, you know, right the wrongs that have supposedly been done to them. The bottom line, though, is we cannot keep giving the whole egg or half the egg or nearly half of the egg to the government to do things inefficiently and to divert or otherwise distort the economy, which in fact is a force of nature. It is all that we consume and produce. And the more that the government does that, the less efficient it will be. So if I had a request for any politician out there, it would be in this season, don't kill the golden goose. Don't let the government get greedy. We need people who are going to pledge to start to work to reduce the government's ability to kill the golden goose. And it's up to them to convince those who have been wronged that government can't right all the wrongs. And we're going to have to figure out how to have that conversation in this country. And if we don't work on this and not let loose until this problem is addressed, then we're going to be in trouble. I think we've been at this crossroads for a while in this country, and I think that's what's causing this problem, this conundrum, this block in our politics, this gridlock, so to speak, in our politics. We're at this crossroad. And it doesn't matter what part of the political spectrum that you're part of, those benefiting from the golden egg will be just as surprised when the goose is dead as those who warn of the imminent death of the goose, right? We need to get a handle on what we expect the government to do and how that gets done and how much it costs to get it done and how efficient it gets done. And we need to do this because if we don't prevent the government from becoming the greedy farmer and killing the golden goose, then our goose is going to be cooked. Thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. I've mentioned the fact that I can come out and check your heating system, and they can upgrade you to get more efficient performance out of your system, and that could save you a lot of money. Get ready for the mini ice age we call winter before it gets cold. Have them come out and check your heating system. Let me give you the number real quick. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6200. 488. Keep that on hand for emergency service as well. And thanks to ex-government cars for sponsoring podcast 407. Yes, I have the megaphone out here to split the piece of this beautiful early fall, late summer night. Are you ready?
Ex-governmentcars.com.
And thanks to the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. They are FAA approved now. Click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. And I got to thank you guys for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Look for the big yellow donate button underneath the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, and you can see as the wind comes up, you can see where and how to donate. Thanks for listening on iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher.com or BlogTalkRadio.com or listening right on the page at the Bob Davis Podcast. Thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. They're definitely keeping me going and doing what I do. And we are getting back into the process, back to school. The wind is coming up, and it's time for me to go. Thanks for listening to podcast 407 as the moon rises.
Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one it's called and proved and true. Blue moon up Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. It was on a moonlight night, the stars shining bright, and they whispered from on high, your love has said goodbye. Blue moon up Kentucky, keep on shining. Shine on the one that's gone and said goodbye.